when my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face. I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place. Now I've tuned to you, and the day's all bright with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake up call. I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
I want to call in. 70 degrees today. We got many of these left. 70 today, 73 tomorrow. Maybe a shower tomorrow, but only a slight chance. People standing in line at Wrigley now trying to get one of the 14 single seats that are still available. Being a part of history, being there is good. Also, being on your couch is good. You know? Mm-hmm. So you got that going on.
Channel 9 interviewed a woman this morning who's been in line since, I guess, yesterday afternoon.
Uh-huh.
And
she get an iPhone with that, too?
No.
I mean, if you're standing in line, you ought to be able to get whatever people are in line for.
Exactly. You should be getting something. I interviewed her for the NLCS. She stood in line for 2 days, and she got two single tickets. One was behind a pole, and one was in the 500 level.
Yeah,
so,
but you're in the building.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And she paid face value, too.
So those folks will not be on this show today,
right?
Because the TV's got this important story covered. But I wish them well. I do. I mean, that kind of dedication, I hope they get in.
I hope so, too. If you camp out for a few days, you should definitely get in.
And I assume all of the special packages for the various bars like Barleycorn around Wrigley are now sold out.
Yeah, actually, we had to make a reservation for Friday and Saturday night at a bar.
For you and your friends?
Yeah, my friends and I have a friend coming in town with their husband.
Now, if you get tickets to either one of these games, you're going to bail on your friends just dump them like a bad habit.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, guys. I think they'd understand.
First pitch, Dave, tonight, what time?
7:08.
Who's pitching?
Kyle Hendricks.
He's good.
Yes, he is good.
Versus?
Josh Tomlin.
Not familiar with him. Was he in jail recently?
No, I don't think he's been in jail.
I heard he hates puppies and grandmothers.
Well, if you want to get that out there, that's
fine.
That's
what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing. And is he good, Tomlin? Josh Tomlin?
Yeah, he's been pretty good, man. He's won a couple of games in the playoffs for them.
Righty, lefty, both?
Whatever works at the moment. Yes, he's a switch pitcher.
Switch pitcher.
Yeah,
that'd be a neat thing.
Yeah.
Got one of those inside-out gloves you could switch for either hand.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's
good.
Velcro.
Channel 9. Our friends at Channel 9 are at Wrigley this morning, and Pat Tomasulo is in chair viewing a former Cubs second baseman who you're well familiar with,
Ryne Sandberg. Yeah.
Yeah, your buddy.
My friend. My good friend.
Arizona. And Wrigley's fairly empty at this point.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah. It was funny, wasn't it, watching last night some of the preview pieces. One of the stations went into the scoreboard. You know, they did the stories of Wrigley and preparing and getting ready. And seeing it so desolate, I'm thinking, oh, man, that's going to be craziness in less than 24 hours.
Well, 71 years is a long time to wait for a World Series. And even though the last one was close, didn't go the way the Cubs would have liked it. 108 years is even longer. Now, it doesn't have to be wrapped up by Sunday night. But doesn't it seem baseball god appropriate to be wrapped up by Sunday night?
I think so.
Because it'd be great to win it at Wrigley.
Mm-hmm. It would be. Yeah. It would be great. By the way, the ticket prices, Andrea?
Yeah. Let's
wait, let me guess. Because I heard an estimate yesterday, that the cheapest seat in the house would be $2,000.
They have come down a little bit since last night when I checked.
Okay.
This is for standing room only. $1,667.
Oh, it's a bargain.
Bleachers.
Oh, it did go down.
It went down about.
Can you bring your own like folding chair or something inside?
I don't think you're allowed to do that. Okay. Bleachers, $1,800. And then terrace reserved in the low twos, $2,300, $2,400. So they are coming down a little bit.
If you're going to spend $1,600 to stand, why wouldn't you get a bleacher seat for
$1,800? I completely agree.
Spend the extra
$200. The dugout boxes now, this is the most expensive on game time today anyway, which were going for about $20,000, literally, per piece. Now they're down to $12,000.
Yeah,
$12,000.
This is row A. This is basically section 19, row A.
Section what?
19. You're pretty close.
Section 19. Where's section 19? You mean 119?
No,
19, which is those are the dugout boxes. Those are actually the 119 would be like the field boxes, I think they're called.
Oh, the newer seats, the ones that are in front of the 100 levels?
They're the closest ones to the field.
Yeah.
And there's four available. You know what? Jimmy DeCastro, since he's leaving, maybe he is our going away present. He should get us each a ticket behind the dugout.
Yeah.
Kind of a cool idea.
I have an event tonight, otherwise I'd go.
I'll be in Columbus, but you can
go
have mine.
All right, we'll go. Okay. Yeah. What's wrong with you guys?
Oh, I have an event tonight. What do you have? I can't bail on it.
Oh, no. You're going to be watching the game probably.
No, not. I actually have an event. I do. I have an appearance tonight.
There's not going to be TVs.
Is anyone going to
Oh, no, believe me. The greatest fear of these people at this event is that we don't wrap up really quickly.
But that's the best time to have you in charge of any sort of auction.
I'm not kidding. It's a drive-by auction. Yeah, go in, do the auction, get out.
Everybody raise your hand, donate money, and then we can
get out of here. Look, we know where you want to be, and it's not here. Give me your money and get out.
And you have this great way of, now, I don't want to say shaming people, but hurrying the process along.
It's not even shame. It's just, look, you eat your dinner. I'm the auction guy for tonight. You know, I don't even care if you listen to the show, to be honest with you. Just pay your money and get the hell out.
Give me $1,000 each.
619, let's do this. It's traffic. We had a crime committed against one of our own this morning.
Yeah, this is terrible.
Bennett's okay, but Bennett got mugged on the L this morning. We'll tell you about that coming up. You hadn't heard about this?
No.
Yeah, he's all right. But
he was very quiet this morning.
Creeps jumped him on the L. Details on that coming up. Details on a Mike Pence plane incident that could easily be called a plane crash if it had lasted about 2 seconds longer. We'll get to that coming up as well. And plus, on this show today, we got John Kasich, the former governor of Ohio. We've got we've got Dean Richards, the former governor of Iowa. got Dean Richards, our entertainment superstar. Coach Fitz, as you said. Got some Hawks tickets to give away. And then later on, we'll find out if you're a bad person or not.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time, of the show for Lou's First Call.
6:24, and Lou Manfredini joins us now. You know, Lou and about a month or so, we're going to be doing the 9 o'clock hour every day on CLTV. It'll be on the radio as well, but it'll be simulcast on CLTV. And I think for that first show, you should probably be live, maybe fixing something. So we need to break something here in the studio, and Luke could come fix it.
Won't be hard to do. There's plenty of things that are broken there.
True.
Are you not on Channel 9 this morning?
I am. We are actually out. I'm at Wrigley Field.
Oh, that's right. The whole show is out there, right?
The whole show is out there. I'm actually standing in the corner of Waveland and where am I? And Sheffield at Murphy's. Oh, and the CSO chorus is singing Hallelujah. And we're right outside where the Fox studios are, you know, where Pete Rose keeps saying dumb stuff about the Cubs.
Yeah, That Fox pregame show is two felons and a host. Yeah.
You know,
A-Rod, Pete, you know, and whoever the host is.
And Frank Thomas.
You know, A-Rod,
is there. Oh, Frank was there.
Bad, but there's not a lot of chemistry with those guys.
No. Well, A-Rod was, you know, a felon, a non-convicted felon, but committed a felonious act.
Kevin Burkhardt is the host.
Oh,
I think
Kevin,
he does a pretty good job.
Kevin Burkhardt robbed a bank. You probably hadn't heard of that.
I hadn't heard that.
All right, well, I know you're busy there. Let's get to your first caller. It's Ann on line one. Good morning, Ann. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing fine. What's your troubles?
Just my daughter is not getting any heat in her room.
Well, has she been bad? I mean, turn the heat on, for crying out loud.
No, we get heat real good in all the rooms, but upstairs, we're not getting any good heat. And just, I need some advice.
Help the daughter out, Lou.
Is it a forced air heating system?
Yes.
Okay. So what you need to do to test to make sure that there's not something caught in that vent is switch the fan switch on the thermostat from auto to fan on so the fan's blowing continuously. Take the covers off and then, you know, literally put your hand over the top to see if you're getting any flow. If not, try going to some of the adjacent rooms nearby. Close those vents by 50% to force more airflow into that room. If you do that and it still doesn't come out of those vents, then a vent could have collapsed or separated, and that's why you're not getting any flow. It's dumping it into just the wall cavity space you may need an HVAC contractor to come out with a camera similar to what they use in a sewer to put it down into the vent to see what's going on so they can make their repair, which may mean they have to open up a ceiling or a wall to make the repair.
Good times, Ann. I hope it's not that.
I hope it's not either.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so does that make sense? You're going to, first off, you're going to do what Lou said, then you do the second thing Lou said, and then you do the third thing Lou said, and I should have listened.
You're very busy.
All right, Ann, hold on. We have prizes for you, Ann. That's going to be great because she's going to get the American Weathermaker's thermostat situation, which will allow her to adjust the heat when it's fixed. This is the AprilAir Wi-Fi thermostat, and you can adjust the temperature of home's air or on your smartphone. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. When we go to whiny staff questions, I actually have one.
Oh, how can I help you?
Well, not yet. And I'm sure Dave is going to pop in with his question or two. This is a question from a texter. I have mice in my attic. There are 2 feet of insulation. How do I get rid of the mice? Well, they're probably living in the insulation, having a party, aren't they?
Correct. And so, unfortunately, you don't want to do any baiting up there. You want to do some traps and or repellent. So if you're not opposed to using glue traps, which some people are, glue traps are a very effective way to catch them in the areas where you see them moving around. You want to look for the droppings, and that's where they're going to keep going. If not, you can use a repellent called Fresh Cab, which is a little pouch that smells like balsam fir, and they do not like that smell. And if you put that up in the attic, in particular where you see the droppings, chances are you're going to get them to go away from there because they don't want anything to do with it. But what you need to find out is how they're coming in. And one of the ways to do that is in the evening with a friend. Somebody goes up in the attic with a bright light shining it in the corners, and somebody else goes outside to see if they can see the light coming through so you know where to make the repair.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes total sense.
Yeah.
You know, you're a smart guy. You should get a show.
Show Saturdays on WGN. I got it.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, House Smarts, the TV version of Lou, is celebrating its 10th anniversary.
Woo-hoo.
It's amazing. That's amazing. Thank you. Yeah, we're in the midst of putting together an anniversary show, which is really more for us than it is for anybody else. But we're going to try and make it fun and talk about all the different people that have worked on the show, Andrea being one of them. We love Andrea.
Andrea is one of your founders. She was with you from day one. You know what? Isn't it time for a raise for her? She's working for this.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, in 2016, my campaign pledge to Andrea is that you give her a raise. Now, see, now you sound like one of the candidates that won't change. I want you to go to your executive producer, you to get Darlis a raise.
We have so much fun on that
show. Wait, I think I am an executive producer.
Oh, well, then go to you. Go to you, sit yourself down, and have a talk with you.
We have a blast
on
the
show. Talk
Why are you trying
so
to talk me out of a raise for you? What's the matter with you?
Well, I'm not talking
I'm
you out.
I'm speaking on your behalf.
Happy. No, I know. I'm happy.
Lou, you're not going to fire Andrea because I asked for a raise, so give her a raise.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no, on both counts. Okay, all right, as long as we covered it.
No, but watch the 10th anniversary show because it's going to be hilarious.
Apparently it's going to be
awesome.
Your last show.
Yes. No, thanks. Yeah. Nice.
847. Right. I have to...
10 and done.
Andrew used to work for us?
Right. 10 years and done. Mic drop.
Lou, I have to replace a water supply valve. Are the Shark Bite products a good alternative? I don't know what that is.
Oh, they're awesome. So Shark Bite is a way to connect to copper and metal pipes that you don't have to do any... use a torch or any solder to use. They're essentially you plug them in and they stick and they don't leak. They are approved for National Plumbing Code. I think, tried and true plumbers don't like to use them, but they will work and they're effective.
Texter Lou, do mint plants help keep bugs and critters away?
Yes. That's what we just talked about. The a mint plant.
A mint plant, yes.
No. I shouldn't say no.
How about Tic Tacs?
A little bit. It's not the Tic Tac. Yeah, Tic Tac. Don't. The Tic Tacs are a bad topic.
Yeah, it is.
Boy, if you're Tic Tac, you're not happy. You're the marketing guy at Tic Tac.
Not good.
Not happy.
Not good.
But anyway, my point is with the mint, it doesn't give off enough scent. And so these products like Fresh Cab or the Bonite product, which is called Mouse Magic, it's more of a pungent odor. When you first take them out, you're like, wow, this smells like Christmas. then once you put it down there, it's more sensitive to the rodents, and they do stay away.
Mouse magic. That's tremendous. All right, so
mouse,
Lou.
Mouse magic and fresh cat.
So, Lou, I'm having the fine folks from Builder Supply Outlet and their affiliates redo a bathroom, the master bath.
Nice.
And
nice.
Tom Janky and the crew. And they're good. You know, they're great guys, obviously. And
great guys. And I have Lindsay with me out here at the Wrigley Field. You should give people the address if you want to plug that.
For Wrigley Field? I know where Wrigley Field is.
No. For Builder Supply Outlet.
Yes, we will, as a matter of fact. But before we do that, we had, in relocating to another bedroom, the guest shower has a shower valve issue, I think, because you turn on the shower and pull up the stopper to get the shower head to work. It's traditional tub. It won't shut off the faucet in the tub. So what have I got going on there?
Okay. You're not doing anything with that bathroom?
Well, that's the main bathroom now while the other one's being fixed.
Got it. So you just need a new spout. And so that lift up that you have has a little rubber gasket that holds it, you know, holds the water back. And in other words, if you pull it up and you put your hand underneath there to stop the water and then it all comes out,
That
spout itself you can replace. It either unscrews or, it either unscrews or you use a Allen wrench to pull the whole spout out and it comes off.
All right, before you leave, because I know TV wants you, Dave, any questions?
Lou, my buckthorn is exploding.
I feel like we've covered this.
Yeah, I think so.
I always bring stuff up like that. I love you guys. Go Cubs.
All right, bye-bye, buddy. Hello. Love you back. 847, we didn't have time for this, but there's a bear hiding in my buckthorn. Ask Lou how to get rid of it.
That's more of a Dave question,
that's a
actually.
Big problem. Yeah. That's a bear. I got a bear in my buckhorn. Mm-hmm. American Weathermakers, thank you as always, and we'll come back with a big story in a moment. Let's get to John Kasich. Governor Kasich, who I would have loved to have had the opportunity to vote for, I was in town yesterday and supporting, amongst other people, Representative Bob Dole, and I had a chance to talk to him after shares today about that and other things.
Well, I mean, let's face it. I mean, I flew in here, and the real reason why I came is I really wanted one of those Chicago hot dogs. I got one at the airport, so I'm ready to roll.
Yeah, as long as you have your source.
I'm here to help Dole. I'm helping Dole because this is one of the guys in Congress that actually works with people down there. You know, he's not some stick-in-the-mud, only cares about his party and all that stuff. And, you know, he's a street guy. I just think he's a heck of a guy, and we need more people who are going to work across the aisle to actually solve some of these problems. Because, you know, we can't ignore them, and we can't just play politics with everything. So that's why I'm here. I'm doing a lot for him, and I'm glad to do it.
There's a lot of chatter about everything that doesn't have to do to run in regards to running for president. And, I'm not knocking anybody in my business because news is news. But what happens is we don't get a chance to talk about the real issues when the news time gets sucked up by everything else. And one of those things is what we're doing overseas. And this is a topic you know well, and I thought you covered well in the campaign. But I got to tell you, Governor, I saw the White Helmets documentary on Syria last night. It is unbelievable. And for what's going on in Syria and what we have to tackle in regards to the Russians, we better pick the right person.
Well, let me just say a couple things about Syria. I was kidding about just getting in the airport, although it did have a great Chicago hot dog.
Of course.
But the first place that I went was to a Northwestern hospital, and I had a long meeting with I just consider one of the great people I've ever met. His name is Dr. Samir Attar, and he's a young guy. He's 40 years old, born in Chicago. He has made three separate trips to Aleppo, Syria, where he gets driven in. And the last time he was there, they snuck him out. He's here in Chicago, and look, he's been in operating rooms where they had to actually take hoses and wash the blood down off the floor so they could take more people in and treat them. This guy, he doesn't want any attention, but we need to see guys like this.
Sure.
Because it's an amazing story. In terms of Syria, I mean, the problem is, I mean, things are always evolving, and you have to look at it on a day-to-day basis, but the biggest problem was we did not help those, the opposition, the legitimate opposition to Assad early on. And then we had that red line, and the president ignored the red line. And the next thing you know, the Russians are in there, and they are just launching devastating attacks on hospitals, on any way to kill people. And it's just hard for us to believe when we see what happens. Russia will never solve that problem. They really want to be at the table. And I have to say, recently, I've been very pleased because I think the president has been getting extremely tough with them. Unfortunately, you can't always put the toothpaste back in the tube. Right. And I wish the president had not, had a red line and then walked the other way. That is a big, big mistake. In terms of now, what do we do? These civil wars are very difficult, and, I mean, that's an understatement. The problem is it's like getting into a knife fight in an alley. You get between two people with knives, and you usually lose. So we've got to look at this situation. But to us, to be directly involved in this civil war is not something that I think will solve the problem, nor is it is in our interest only from a humanitarian point of view, which is big, but there's it's in the middle of a war. So I look at it every day, shake my head, and hopefully there will be an opportunity to have these hostilities end, and maybe they can rebuild that country.
Governor, I saw the other day you caught a bunch of grief for actually working with the president on trade deals. I mean, where does the Republican Party, when somebody like you, a leader like you, with such high approval numbers and done such a great job?
From one of the great manufacturing states in the country.
Yeah, and you go to actually do something that we all need or the country needs and you get bombarded. I mean, where does the party go?
Well, I mean, we're not for free trade. I mean, the deal is that our products will cost more. They will not be of the quality we need. And in this agreement, if you walk away from countries in Asia that are pretty economically weak, you just empower China, which would be a silly thing. So both from a consumer point of view, from a standard of living point of view, and from a point of view of America's need to be strong in Asia to counter China, I don't know how you walk away from this deal. Now, the biggest problem that you have with trade is that some people are displaced, and we have a very poor system for taking people who worked in industries that are not going to survive over time in America and training them for the industries that are growing. And, again, I lay this right at the feet of the Congress, where they can't put together a job training program system to give states flexibility to train workers. It's just ridiculous. But, you know, to say that we're just going to walk away from trade and we're going to just ignore the rest of the world is foolhardy.
Bob Dold, endorsed by the Sun-Times, the Tribune, and the Daily Herald, and Governor Kasich is a friend of Mr. Dold and thinks you ought to give him very serious consideration and vote for him. So I encourage you to check out Dold for Congress in that regard. But you know what, Governor, you and I have known each other for a while, and I think we're avoiding the obvious elephant in the room. Your Cleveland Indians against our Chicago Cubs.
You know, all you can say, hitting and pitching. I saw the headline in the Tribune, you know, the bats have returned. Yeah, they were silent in game one for the Cubs. Of course, we had a great pitcher on the mound. I mean, it's all going to get to who gets hot and who's got the best people on the mound. I do believe strongly that the Indians have an incredible bullpen. I think it goes seven games. I think it's going to be that remarkable of a series, and who's going to emerge? You know, who's going to be the stars? It's going to be fun to watch. I'm enjoying it.
Did you get hooked into any one of those silly bets with Governor Rauner or anybody?
Yeah, it's exactly right. Rauner wanted a bet, so, you know, we don't really worry about having to deliver our side of the bet because we don't think it'll be necessary.
Well, how about this? Why don't we up the ante a little bit? When the Cubs win, you send us the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Hey, anytime you guys want to come to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, we'll welcome you. I probably won't be there, and you'll have to pay, but other than that, you're sure welcome to come.
Hey, that's, you know, the convention was in Cleveland, and that is a nice place now, that downtown.
Oh, yeah, it's really
Cleveland's
changed.
A good city. You know, yeah, it absolutely is.
I come in, look, Cleveland is, I read something yesterday about how, you know, you had the Cavs, you had the convention, you have businesses growing, you got the Indians, and Cleveland for so long, you know, just took big hits. And now, you know, we're all proud. And it was one of my goals when I became governor was to be a helper to the city. And I'm really proud of what happened. But I have to also tell you, I never cease to be amazed when, and this is not suck up, this is true, I never cease to be amazed when I come to Chicago and I see this skyline, and it's just an amazing city. It is an amazing, amazing place.
I would argue it's the most beautiful big city skyline on the planet. It really is something else. And, well, listen, good luck, Tribe, and I guess Governor Kasich and I agree. Cubs in seven.
We'll see you guys. Thank you.
All right. Again, I like Kasich, but I hear he's not running anymore. Back in a moment, and he's supporting Bob Dold, is, again, the main reason he was in town. Bennett's here. Bennett, Bennett, I pick on you a lot. I'm not going to do that today. You've got a rough morning.
Rough is all relative, but.
So you're coming to work, minding your own business, taking the L, and you're trying to stay warm on the Wilson stop, right?
Yeah.
Got the little heater deal. What do they call that?
Well, they haven't put the heaters in yet because it's a new L stop. I was just trying to tuck into a corner of one of those Winnboro things.
And you had a sense somebody was coming up behind you.
And I kind of saw out of the corner of my eye these two guys. I was the only one on the platform, and these two guys.
And this is what time?
This was 3:28 in the morning.
Okay.
And these two guys are walking up, and they're kind of slowing down, and I kind of had a heightened sense. I said, all right, this is about to go south real quick.
Yeah, this isn't good.
And these guys.
They say anything to you before they hit you?
Nope. They just turn to me. They sock me in the face once, twice, fall to the ground. They say, give me your phone, give me your phone, give me your phone. They hit me on the ground.
Which I assume you did.
Which I said, just take it, just take it.
Lesson number one, three of them, one of you, give up your phone.
I was greatly outnumbered. I was like, this is not going to go well if I try to resist.
Right, so, of course not.
They say, give me the phone, give me the phone. I give them the phone. And then they say, what's the password? What's the password? Give them the password. And then, like, just like that, the L car pulls up and they're on the L. And
they got on the same train as you.
They got on the same. That was the most baffling thing.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, let's get some security on these trains.
I'm on the L.
Some stones, doesn't it?
I'm on the L, sitting on the L, you know, my eyes watering because I just got socked in the face.
Of course. And are they sitting behind you?
Well, they were on the car before me. So I was sitting there kind of tending to myself, and then the door opens from in between each train car, and I see the guys just moseying on through
onto your train,
onto my train. I didn't say anything because I was in disbelief almost.
Did you think they were coming back for more?
I think they were just,
they didn't ask you for money, right?
No, there were other people on the L, so I was like, at least I'm safe, they're not going to come running up to me.
But no cops, no train security, none of that.
No cops, no train security. I got off at the grand stop, which is where I get off to get here, and there wasn't an attendant at the office at the grand stop, so I couldn't say, hey, this just happened. They just got off at Belmont. So I got here, got to work, got some ice, filed the report.
That's awful. I'm so sorry that you went through that.
It's ridiculous. You're lucky, yeah. Obviously.
I am lucky.
But you also made your own luck, and this is a lesson now.
Yeah.
You know, you're a grown man. You think, oh, I should have done this, should have done that. I don't want you to have any of those thoughts today. You did exactly the right thing.
I like to think so. In the 5.5 years I've lived in the city, this is the only time that I've gotten mugged. So this is lucky is an understatement.
Too many people, you know, do the wrong thing.
Right.
They're going to try to fight back, and then you don't know if somebody's got a gun or a knife, and it goes to another level.
You absolutely did the right thing by just giving it up. Give up the phone. You can get a new one.
Yeah, it was just the phone.
Disable it, absolutely.
You can get another phone. And you got a pretty good smack on your face. Are you going to a doctor?
I'll be tending to it a little bit later. But
you can leave if you need to.
Okay.
I mean, not until the show's over. No, well, you can leave.
Of course.
Benny, you're such a great guy. You came into war.
Yeah, duly noted, by the way. And you've let your family know and all that?
Yep. Everyone who needs to know knows. And
all right. Now, that Wilson stop can be a bit problematic.
That's got a reputation.
Uptown can be kind of problematic.
Yeah, it's wherever you are, right? But I'm saying it can happen anywhere.
It's anywhere. Oh, my gosh. I have a friend who was in an incident on the Red Line at Belmont,
which
is extremely busy, too. I mean, so.
But at 3:20 in the morning.
This was a brand new stop. Totally illuminated.
Beautiful.
It wasn't a dark
stop,
dark spot on the platform to be found, and it just happened to be that one.
And if there's no cops in the area, and if there's no security, these guys are. Now you said when they got off the train,
they met up with three other guys.
They met up with three other guys. It's the end of our shift.
So they said, "Hey guys, meet up in Belmont in 40 minutes. See what you can get."
Right,
I'm sure. And so that was just. How they went about their day.
It's thugs, too, because...
Oh, they're cowards.
Three on one.
You know what? Steal my wallet, steal my phone, one-on-one. Let's see how that goes for
you.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. But well done by you. Now, the other piece of this lesson is, because everybody goes, well, I want to be on the phone when somebody's walking by, because That way, nobody will bother me. I disagree completely. I think you got to have your head on a swivel. You got to be alert. You know, this is not the Old West like the rest of the country wants to paint Chicago, but it's a big city, and there's thugs in this in a big city, especially at 3:20 in the morning. So not looking at your phone is a good idea, which you mentioned, but not having earbuds on either. Earbuds don't make you secure. Earbuds make you less aware of what's around you.
Yeah, that was little things you can do to help yourself.
Let's get out of here and go get them right now,
I got my running shoes on, so we'll
Dave, you with us?
I count me in.
Making a fair fight, 3-on-3.
Hey, and the next time you have Alderman James Kappelman in, maybe he can get some more security on that stop.
How about more?
Yeah.
How about the city next time the mayor's in?
Yeah. Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
Seven 7:13. Going to be another great sports weekend in Chicago. Let's kick it off by talking a little Northwestern football. Dave, what do you have?
And Coach Fitz, sponsored by the Fields Auto Group.
We'll get Coach with us on the phone here in just 1 second. And he appears to be ready right now. Good morning, Coach, and congratulations on another win.
Thanks, buddy. How you doing?
We're ready to rock.
Big weekend here in Chicago.
Huge weekend. World Series tonight. You guys win tomorrow. What do you want to do Sunday?
Cubs win the World Series.
Let's go.
What do you think?
Don't you think the baseball gods have got it figured out now? They took a long time. They finally got to the Cubs on the to-do list. You got to let them win it at Wrigley.
It would be spectacular for the city. There's no question about that. And, you know, I'm not a big believer in that type of stuff, but I think if they go out and hit the ball the way they did game two and pitch the way they have the whole series, I think they've got a chance.
All right, I
got
to ask your friend Dave Ennett a question here. Dave, you've called Northwestern football for a long time.
Yes.
This turnaround in this team from that rough week against the fine Illinois State squad is really dramatic. And each week I sense a momentum building. Are you feeling that?
I have felt a definite change. This team has played terrific for the last month or so. And I'm sure you can always play the what if. Look at some games, including that Nebraska game. Maybe they'd like another shot at them now. But it is one of those turnarounds, Pat, where you look at it. I mean, is there one thing that you feel turned it around for your guys?
Well, I think the leadership in our upperclassmen. Yeah, they've done a terrific job. As you know, Dave, you had to learn a bunch of new names this year.
Yeah.
And between a couple of games, you had to learn some new names, put on your chart. And we've just it took us a little bit to get some guys to step up. But to their credit, they have. But most importantly, the leadership from our upperclassmen, our captains, our leadership council has been absolutely outstanding.
You got this great receiver. You got a great running back. But the team's much more than that. And if you're going to pull off what would be a significant upset this weekend in the horseshoe, who's going to star for you?
Well, I'm not overly concerned with the individual. I'm more concerned about where we're at as a team. You know, we've been in this scenario a handful of times. Most recently was our trip to South Bend where, quite frankly, I don't think anybody, gave us an opportunity to win that football game. And it shouldn't have been as close as it was. We had some touchdown plays that were for naught. So I don't think our guys are anything other than focused, excited for the opportunity. They've had a great week. And, it's going to take all 70 that make the trip. It's not going to be one guy or one call or one one series. It's going to be 60 minutes, and hopefully we play our best game of the year.
This question always comes up, and I'm sure you've been asked it a few times this week, you'd rather face Ohio State coming off a loss or coming off a win. There's really no there's no real easy answer to that question, is there?
Oh, I would really prefer if they weren't on the schedule.
Right, that's one.
I don't.
Maybe we get you somebody easier, like the Cleveland Browns, same state.
Yeah. Whatever. We've got to just continue to do the things that winners do, and take care of the football. We had some amazing and timely turnovers caused last week. We've just got to go battle. And, when we've done that, we've been able to move the ball pretty well. We've been able to get off the field on third down defensively. And I think the area that's going to be really important tomorrow is going to be the special teams. I think Ohio State, as we all know, is not only talented on offense and defense, but their next group of young men may be as talented as anybody has in the country. And you know, they got great team speed, great returners. Schematically, they put pressure on you. So it's going to be a heck of a challenge for our special teams players.
They have the number one punter in the country. Their field goal kicker hasn't missed yet. He's 10 for 10. They're pretty good. You mentioned the turnovers. Steve, I don't know if you saw them, but Northwestern came up with two interceptions in the game last week. They were different plays, but they were two of the best interceptions.
Acrobatic.
A guy making a play that you're going to see, including that. Still, that Kyle Caro interception, that's one of the all-time greats. I mean, that's right up there. A one-handed grasp of the ball went up high.
Odell Beckham on defense.
Yeah, it really was.
It was an amazing catch, and if Kyle were on right now, he'd say, "Whoo!" We had some communication issues, and he was getting to come down. He was coming down into the flat, not to get too schematic, but down low, realized that he was making a mistake and ran to his responsibility, and ends up making one of the best interceptions in program history. You know, when you're a coach and you're watching that happen, you're like, "Get back, yeah!"
Right. You go from a really You go from a bad film session to a really great film session.
Yeah, it's one of those attaboy. Hey, attaboy, great job. amazing coaching by myself, Hank, and Jerry Brown on that play. But what a great play by Kyle. And, you know, we're going to need some more of those tomorrow if we plan to find a way to win.
I can tell you now that I don't think Ohio State relishes the fact that you guys are on the schedule either. They would like a beaten-up team coming in that's not on a streak of some pretty good performances and stuff. So I give you guys plenty of chance tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be ready to play mentally and physically and emotionally. There's no doubt about that. Like I said, the guys have had a great week. I think the staff has put together a really good plan, and now we got to go execute. It's going to be a heck of an environment. You know, it's an amazing place to play. It's one of the cathedrals of college football. Their fan base is rabid, and it will be rocking and rolling in the Shoe at 3:30 Eastern. And, you know, we've handled the road. Some pretty solid road warriors handled it well in Iowa City. We handled it well again, even though we didn't start the way we wanted to in Michigan State and East Lansing. So this is our next step, and hopefully we'll continue to show maturity and find a way to get it done and get on the plane, and hopefully we'll have some TVs and be able to watch the Cubbies win.
I can tell you right now that I have friends in Ohio. I'm sure both of you do as well. But I look so forward to a very disappointing sports weekend for Ohio that we can talk about on Monday.
That's good.
Yeah, from Cleveland to Columbus and back. So good luck, Coach. What time are you kicking it off, Dave?
That would be at...
where we go? Let's try
that would be at 2:30 tomorrow, and the pregame at 2 o'clock.
All right. Coach, good luck.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Go Cats. See, go Cubbies. Let's go.
We got them both covered. Back after this with Hawker Riddle and free tickets for your Blackhawks. A little wrap-up of yesterday's bizarre political action that went on and some of it that didn't. Dave?
And Coach Fitz, sponsored by the Fields Auto Group.
Our tickets see the Blackhawks against Calgary Tuesday night. November 1st. Can that be right? Somebody check a calendar. It's almost November. It was summer 10 minutes ago. What happened?
Halloween's on Monday.
Oh. You guys try on your Halloween costumes?
I have it at home. I'm going to try it over the weekend.
Mm. Jake, what are you for Halloween?
Bam Bam. We're all dressing up as the Flintstones.
Yeah, in honor of me. The ultimate Flintstones fan.
And I pulled the short straw, apparently. Did you see the Bam Bam costume?
Is there a lot of it?
Well, it's shirtless, right?
It's a lot of things going on with it, and there is a shirtless factor.
Yeah.
Mary tried on her pebbles already. Mary Sandberg.
But by way of explanation, Sandberg tried on her pebbles costume.
Yes. They are...
What are you, Wilma?
Thin. I'm Wilma.
And you gave away our costumes?
Well, we knew that. We talked about it on the air before. We're
going to
be the Flintstones. Yeah, no, we did.
I don't think we did.
We haven't done our photo op yet, though. And by the way, it's just going to be a photo op because I believe some of us are sitting in vinyl.
Yeah. Felt.
Whoa, felt. It's going to be itchy.
It's felt, and there's not a lot of it.
They're very well made.
Really.
I was careful to pick out the right lengths and things.
Mm-hmm. Dave's costume has a pimp fur coat, I'm told.
Yeah.
A pimp-like fur coat,
Dave, there's a rumor that you were a little disappointed in your costume.
Well, Dave is Bam Bam. I'm Fred.
No, and I'm not Bam
I mean,
Bam.
You're Barney. I'm Fred.
Barney.
And,
why, Dave? Don't you want to be married to me?
No, it's not that, Mary.
It's a loaded question.
It's just, it doesn't really, to me, it doesn't look like Barney Rubble.
It doesn't. It's got a little too much fur.
Yeah, you need a purple velvet hat. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, to go with it.
Yeah,
you do.
Exactly.
And what's your problem with yours, Sandberg?
Well, I'm Pebbles, and Pebbles came from Wilma.
Mm-hmm.
And she, Pebbles, the picture on the...
Have you guys gotten used to calling her Mom? That
yeah.
type of thing?
Mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Mom. That's not funny.
Mom. Mom. Pebbles.
I didn't think this through.
Baby Pebbles.
That means you're daddy.
Oh, dad.
Yeah.
That's right, daddy.
Yeah, how about that?
Hey, daddy.
Whole thing's weird.
Who's your daddy?
Pebbles, if you recall, and as the picture on the package shows, Pebbles has orange hair.
Uh-huh.
She wears a little green top and some little bloomers.
Yeah.
I've got a hot pink wig because I'm like the teenage... I dyed my hair, I guess, hot pink.
Okay. Kind of, yeah, you're trampy Pebbles.
With the bone in the hair?
Yeah, I have a bone. Yeah. And then it's this ill-fitting pink top and then these black like boxer shorts and then leg warmers. I don't...
At least you have shorts.
And that's in bizarre. The thing, in the picture, the girl wearing the costume, she looks very happy wearing the costume. She's wearing kitten heels. So am I supposed to wear like high heels?
Yes. What?
She's your daughter.
No, whatever you want.
Donald.
That's inappropriate.
Well, Betty and Wilma have heels too on. And I don't think we're supposed to. No, we
yeah,
can't.
You know, in Bedrock, they didn't even wear shoes.
The worst part of all of it, so Wilma has red hair. My costume, either someone stole the wig or it didn't come with the wig.
Yes, not in the package.
You can wear my Pebbles hair.
See, this is my concern. This is my concern about
the
costumes.
Before?
These weren't used before, were they?
Oh,
I don't think so. I think
I'm a bit of a germaphobe, and I don't like to wear a Flintstones costume that someone else has had on. That's my one thing. I don't want to wear a Flintstones costume that somebody else has had on.
Well, you have to bring it
That's
back, you know,
thing.
So someone else will wear it
you. I can Purell it for you.
That'll help.
I think if I wash it, it'll fall apart.
Yeah. No, I don't want it. Don't wash
it. I haven't tried on my Fred yet, and I don't even know what that means. Anyway, that'll help. Thank you. That'll be Monday. I may go for a Joe Rockhead look instead, or maybe a Mr. Slate.
There you go.
Yeah.
That'll work.
What was I talking? Oh, Blackhawks tickets, of course. Why wouldn't I be talking about Halloween? A pair of tickets for the Blackhawks and Calgary Flames. The Blackhawks will play the Devils tonight in New Jersey, but for this, you're going to be entered to win four season tickets for next year, along with winning the tickets for Tuesday night for Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingandcooling.com or on Facebook. Rose got a second chance to win this afternoon. About between 4 and 5, let's say. Here's your riddle. We're going with the Hawker riddle here in the early part of the season. Okay? The Hawker riddle. The Balaban and Cats in the loop on State cost $4,000,021. Price today, $54.8. It's a lovely venue over 3,000 can see. Our namesake sign on a vertical marquee.
I got it.
Oh, no, I don't know.
All right, first correct caller, 312-981-7200. That is the number to call and win. Mike Pence is okay. The vice presidential candidate on a charter plane last night overshot the runway. They skidded, hydroplaned is the general thought. There's also a thought that the pilot came in too hot, too steep, and couldn't stop on a rain-soaked runway in the middle of a rainstorm. It could have been much, much worse. The plane came to a stop off the runway at the end of the runway, yards from a very busy interstate highway in New Jersey, or in New York, I should say, at LaGuardia. Could have been much, much worse. And the torn-up runway you hear a lot about in the news this morning, these destructible blocks of sort that help keep the plane from going off and possibly onto the highway, those blocks are the same sort of thing used at Midway and other major airports that have short runways. So that seems to be the problem. The investigation continues. No one on the plane was hurt, but it could have been, again, much, much worse. Marty's on the phone. I'm going to do the riddle one more time, Marty. You think you've got it, though, huh?
I think I do.
All right, stand by. The Balaban and Cats in the loop on State, $4,000,021. Price today, $54.8. A lovely venue. Over 3,000 can see our namesake sign on a vertical marquee. Where is it? Where's the puck today?
It is at the Chicago Theater.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. I thought this was a difficult Hawker riddle. Maybe you're just a smart guy, Marty.
I threw around a little bit, but thank you very much.
Very impressive. You a Hawks fan? You better be.
Absolutely.
Calgary, Hawks, you, and three, Tuesday night. Four season tickets up for your grabs next year, and you're entered from Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Have a great time.
All right, thanks very much. I appreciate it.
All right, go Hawks. Back after this with your big story on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
So great to be here. And it doesn't get any better with our most amazing First Lady, Michelle Obama. Make no mistake about it, casting our vote is the ultimate way we go high when they go low. Voting is our high. That's how we go high. We vote. How do we go high? How do we go high? That's it. Roll up your sleeves, make calls, knock on doors, get people to the polls. It's turnout that's going to make the difference. We have to turn our people out. As you are out there working your hearts out for my girl.
School yesterday, too, and she goes, First Ladies rock.
Yeah. I got to tell you, Michelle Obama is such a charismatic speaker.
You could see her being a candidate at some point, though she I seriously doubt she has any interest in it. She wants to go off and have a life. And I'd say she's earned it. Todd Graham will join us in just a second. Before we get to that, if you listened yesterday, or on most Thursdays, Chuck Todd is on with us from Meet the Press. And Chuck made some national news yesterday by talking about, I asked Chuck about the Clinton Foundation and the Washington Post story. And Chuck said he got to shut it down, which we had said earlier on the show. And I totally agree with him. You got to shut it down. There should have been an announcement yesterday. We're going to shut it down. And everybody picked it up, The Hill and Mediaite and every political site. It's stunning to me how little play, not just Chuck Todd's comment about it in the morning, but after the morning shows, Morning Joe made a big deal about it. CNN was all over it. But by 10 o'clock, everybody had moved on. And the hypocrisy that goes on, and really, the stupid lack of focus both of these candidates have is amazing. The Trump campaign was handed a Christmas present yesterday, and that was the Washington Post story that Bill Clinton may have enriched himself to the tune of $65 million over the course of 5 years of Clinton Foundation money. Maybe legal, maybe illegal, hard to say. What isn't hard to say is some of it tripped over into Hillary Clinton's time as Secretary of State. Well, that, I'm afraid, is going to have some splaining. Now, it's a complicated story, but it's only going to be cleared up for people who want to vote Republican if the guy on the ticket can explain it. Now, whether or not he could explain it really didn't matter, because yesterday he barely touched it. And Donald Trump yesterday said one of his main focuses is he wants to sue NBC for the release of the video that showed that he could be a sexual predator, bringing up the topic again, saying his microphones were on, they shouldn't have been. Yeah, we have a clip. Hit it.
The microphone was not supposed to be on. Not that I make that as an excuse for myself, but certainly it was an illegal act that was NBC. It was not supposed to be on.
You think it was illegal what they did, putting that tape out?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, that was a private locker. You know, that was a private dressing room. Yeah, that was
certainly illegal. Are you
going to
take any action after the election against NBC?
Well, you'll see. You'll see.
Oh, we're in suspense about that now, too.
Trump wants to sue NBC for using WikiLeaks. Or Trump wants to sue NBC, I should say, but he still wants to use WikiLeaks. There's the hypocrisy. On the other side, Hillary wants to blow off WikiLeaks, but she wants to use the NBC clips. I mean, these two clowns, you can't make it up. Trump yesterday spent a good portion of the day talking about one single voter in Texas, a state that is run by Republicans, to give credence to his argument of a rigged election. Trump yesterday said one single voter on their Facebook message yesterday showed that the entire election is rigged. You got this one too? Yeah. So Trump said this woman who said, we voted a straight Republican ticket, and then before I hit submit on the electronic ballot, I noticed that Hillary and Tim Kaine were picked. I tried to fix it myself. I couldn't uncheck the box. The volunteer couldn't uncheck the box, but then we had a supervisor come over who was able to fix it. Trump then spent all his time saying, see, this proves it. And again, the only way the election could be rigged is if half the country were in on it, the half that Republicans run. And Republicans run about 90% of Texas politics.
Wait, I'm confused. So this woman accidentally voted for Hillary and Tim Kaine?
No, she doesn't know how Hillary and Tim Kaine got checked. But these electronic voting machines have malfunctioned before. Could have been her finger. Right. Could have been something else.
And at that point, yeah, you stop it and say, you know, you go over your results.
Right. And that's what you said. So everybody should go over the results.
Okay,
so
that
the Bill Clinton
mean, yeah,
Christmas present to Donald Trump, Donald Trump completely ignored. He didn't even unwrap it, but he has a solution.
Hillary Clinton wants to raise taxes on small businesses up to 45%. What a difference. You know, what a difference this is. And just thinking to myself right now, we should just cancel the election and just give it to Trump, right? What are we even having it for? What are we having it for? Her policies are so bad.
Last piece of this. Trump's been given $2 million of his own dollars to the election up until October. In the month of October, the latest disclosures say he's given $2,000. Chris Christie, one of his main guys until all of the Bridgegate stuff blew up, has not given a dime, apparently. Trump's children, all multimillionaires, have not donated to their father's campaign.
How about that? Well, you know what? It's okay now because we're going to cancel the election.
Yeah, it's just going to give it to Trump.
Can you hear that? It's all the founding fathers rolling over in their graves.
Yeah, it's not good when George Washington is rolling his eyes.
Now, having said all this, why aren't I 50 points ahead?
It's like, you know what it is? It's election hot potato. No, you be the president. Uh-uh, I don't want it. You be the president. Unbelievable. Todd Graham teaches debate and coaches the team at SIU, one of the best in the country. All right, let's start with the debates. Did the debates this time, in your estimation, make a bigger dent in this, positively or negatively, than normal?
Bigger than usual, absolutely. I say bigger than usual. And here's why, is because Hillary won all three. So most of the scientific, not most, all the scientific polls after the debates said that Hillary won all three debates. And I don't know if you're familiar with it, but that's fairly rare. So 4 years
ago. That's
why
we called
you.
I'm not familiar with it.
Well, excellent. Thank God. So 4 years ago when Obama had a really bad debate against Romney in the first debate, but then he came back in the second debate. 8 years ago against McCain, sort of same thing. So they tend to go back and forth. So we will see bounces in the polls after most debates, but usually there's a little bounce back. So usually they come back a little bit. So most historians have said debates can make up to 1 to 2 points difference, like so small, but still significant. Unfortunately, though, for Donald Trump this year, they were much more significant than that. He was only down by about 2 points. It was 1.5 in the polls before the first debate, and then that moved up to 5% after the first debate, 7% after the second debate, and stayed there steady after the third debate. It's down to about 5 to 6% now. So he just never had a good debate. And unfortunately, that didn't give anyone who was on the fence or any of his supporters who might not, or Republicans who tend to vote straight party ticket, who still weren't sure if they wanted to vote for Trump, he didn't give them any ammunition. So he made it difficult for them to go out and say, you saw him in the debate. He had a good debate. He's just not a real good politician. No, he didn't do that. And so in this particular year, I think the debates had the biggest difference.
All right. So that helps build and maintain Hillary's lead. But in the week since, part of processing the argument or making your argument is not stepping in it and then stepping in what you stepped in. Isn't that what Trump did on the bus and what he follows with?
Yeah, he's so good at not taking advantage of things that should be an advantage to him. It seems like every time. So he'll bring up the silliest ideas. Here's what Hillary did right. Now, one of people's complaints about Hillary in the debates is Donald Trump would attack her with 4, 5, 6 things, with bills, infidelities, with this, and she just wouldn't talk about them. She would just ignore them. Right. And so for me, I wanted her to at least talk about maybe one or two, but her strategy was just ignore them and move on. That's what he needs to learn to do outside of debates. Donald Trump always keeps coming up with the same things that are frankly working against him, whether it's the tape from him on the, you know, on the bus, or whether it's, you know, from election rigging, or all of the random things that he wants to talk about when he could, in fact, talk about things like the Clinton Foundation. He could, in fact, talk. There's so many things Hillary's given him to talk about, and he just refuses.
Todd, what do voters really pay attention to when they're watching these debates and we see these same topics hammered over and over again? For example, Hillary and the emails. So when he hammers her about the emails and say she doesn't answer, do you find that voters say, you know what, I'm going to do a little bit of research on that? Or they just go by specifically what he's saying and then kind of mimic that or parrot that? Oh, yeah, the emails.
I think they do both. I think that's a great question because they do, right? The people who are already sort of pro-Trump or Republican, they definitely think there's stuff wrong with the emails because there's a lot. And frankly, all you have to do is say emails now because you both know there's more than one email story, right?
And she's been branded with it. She's been branded.
Yeah, exactly.
Email, you know, it's Coca-Cola is cola. Email now is a negative for Hillary. You think email, you don't even think about your own email. You think about what is Hillary's bad emails.
Yeah, so it's WikiLeaks, which is one set of emails, which was the DNC, but then there's Hillary's private server emails, and so now they're all just emails. That's definitely a negative thing for Hillary. I would bring that up every time, but so what people do after debates is some will read about it, and they will try to find out more, but more than that, it will reify what they already think. So does it get them up and over, like, enough to cast a ballot? Does it get them off of their chair enough? And so I think that's what some of Clinton's attacks against Trump did. They were strong enough in the debates that they actually got people up and over the edge. So I don't know. There is some polling data, by the way, that indicates Trump support has increased after the last debate a little bit, but so has Clinton's. So in other words, people are really starting to say, okay, I've made up my mind.
Todd Graham's director of the Saluki debate team in the Communication Study Department at SIU. And you see him regularly on CNN. He writes there as well. All right, let me just go to the finish line here, and that's this. Can you be thin-skinned and vengeful and win an election?
Oh, well, we've seen various thin-skinned people win elections before. So, you know, they've gone after, you know, yesterday I was reading about the attorney general, I think in Pennsylvania, who just got sentenced because she went after people after she became the attorney general. She was a Democrat and she was very thin-skinned. But in national politics, no. And here's what happens. You can maybe get elected, but you'll never be reelected because once you're elected, it becomes much more obvious how thin-skinned you are. Trump is, I think, setting a record for how thin-skinned he is, right? He sets a record, and Hillary probably sets a record for the thickest of skin. So they're a really odd couple because you can say almost anything about Hillary, including that nasty woman, and she doesn't really say anything about it. But if you say the first thing about Trump, he will come right back after you and attack. So it's the oddest sort of two people running for president, I think, that we've ever seen in our lifetime.
You're a puppet.
No, you're a puppet.
You're a puppet.
Yeah. No, you two are the puppet. Yeah.
Yes, and that goes to the final piece of that, which is the follow-up. Can you be thin-skinned and vengeful and be the president of the United States? And I'll just give you my piece of that. No! Because you're going to get criticized every single day.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that job. I do bad enough when I come home and I hear, well, you know, that those potatoes could have been cooked a little bit more. Yeah. I'm like, damn you!
Right.
Damn you! I'm going to sue you for libel. So I think that you just can't have that as president. There isn't a day that goes by in the life of our American president, it doesn't matter who it is, not a day goes by that they don't get criticized and criticized heavily.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't think that would work very well.
I just don't know. And I mean this with all sincerity, and it has nothing to do with this election. I have never in my life, including my cranky Uncle Hank, who's one of the worst guys I've ever known in my life, long past. Hopefully he's happier wherever he is, but I think the elevator went down. I've never met anybody who's an old man who has grown up less than Donald Trump. He's still, he's still got a little boy inside him that never grew up.
Well, the problem is, and I teach this in my interpersonal communication class, we actually sort of reach, many people reach what you call sort of the peak of the mountain, and then they start going the other direction in the older life. Have you ever noticed how your grandparents start to lose their temper easier? They start to act actually more like children in their very, very old age.
That's true. They have
less patience. And I think Trump is now at that part where he's going the wrong direction in patience. He has less patience. He's acting more childish than he has.
I wouldn't have voted for Uncle Hank either. So, hey, thanks for being on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you. That's Todd Graham, CNN, SIU, and search Todd Graham for SIU or CNN online. You can follow him on social media. We'll come back, get your news next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
8:13. Wintrust Unity Banks Hour rolls on. Dean Richards is live with the entire Channel 9 television station. Everybody from WGN TV, other than Dave and Andrea.
Yes.
are at Wrigley Field. Good morning, Dean.
Everybody is out here this morning. We're outside of Murphy's Bleachers. It's crazy out here already. I got out here about 6 o'clock. I did. And it's already packed out here at Sheffield and Waverly.
Where are you going to hide in the park so that you can be at the game tonight? Because I know you're going to sneak your way in.
That's got to be. I'm thinking I'm pretending to be a hot dog bun vendor.
Right.
As they're wheeling food in, I'm just going to try to squeeze in with that group.
You got a clipboard? If you got you got a clipboard and a Cub hat, you just walk around with attitude. You're going to be fine.
Yeah, and just act like I belong there.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, because so far, that is the only way in hell that I'm getting in this ballpark tonight.
Andrea had a close family friend offer her a ticket for $4,000.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. That's what family's for.
Exactly. We're not close anymore.
All right.
I've been thinking about this. I love Steve's thought the other day that if you're under 70, 80 years old, you shouldn't even be allowed in the ballpark.
No.
Should only be older people allowed who have been waiting for this the longest.
There will be other World Series for you whippersnappers at 68 and 69. If you're 70 or older, you're in.
I got to tell you, though, it's cool. I'm literally standing in front of the Cubs sign at the bleacher entrance at Sheffield and Waveland. And it's emotional to stand out here. When I came out here today, I walked past the Ron Santo's statue. I'm not going to lie. I get emotional every time I see Ron's statue.
I miss him. Absolutely miss him.
And how much he would have loved this. We had Jeff Santo, Ron's son, who made the documentary This Old Cub,
yep,
on with us a little bit earlier. And, just talking about his dad and how much he would have loved to have been here. We're both, sitting there, blubbering, missing Ronnie. And it's all about some of the seniors who've been waiting for this for all of their life. It's so cool.
You know, the thing about, when you're a parent, Dave, you know this, and Mary, I know you've gone through this. When your kids are little and you go to like a Disney on Ice show, you don't watch the show, you watch your kids.
Right.
You watch your kids watching the show. How much fun would it be to watch Ron Santo watch this World Series?
Oh, my gosh.
That's it. You can sell tickets to that.
In the words of Ronnie himself, oh, boy. Oh, boy. In less happy days, but can you just imagine Ronnie's reaction to the Dodgers series, the Giants series, and the first World Series that's going to take place here tonight.
And the Mets being eliminated before the playoffs started. I mean, the little joys.
Right. Extra joy for Ronnie.
And the Cardinals not getting it. You know, he and Ernie are absolutely running this. They're absolutely running this. But I do think about, Dempster was talking about how emotional he got yesterday. But you think about Billy, Ernie, Ronnie, all those guys from the 60s Cubs who never made a playoff game, let alone a World Series. I mean, this is for them. Sutcliffe, came close, right? Those guys in 84 and 89 and 03, they could see it from there. Mm-hmm. But some of the best to ever wear a Cubs uniform never were in a playoff game.
Nope.
It's crazy.
Sutcliffe was just out here. We talked to him on the show, and I became a 12-year-old kid all of a sudden. Talking with Rick Sullivan. It's crazy.
Hey, Mr. Sutcliffe. Hey, Mr. Sutcliffe. I'm Dean. Hey, can I get your autograph?
I seriously was. I didn't, but I wanted to take a selfie with him. I wanted to get his autograph.
Hey, Mr. Sutcliffe. Remember that one time? That was awesome.
That's exactly how I was. I was afraid I was going to embarrass myself.
All right, off the top of your head, if you're not a baseball fan, you got to realize there's 9 million people in this town. Some of them are baseball fans. If you're not a baseball fan, you're going to go to a movie tonight. I'm pretty sure you're going to have a seat available to you. So
yeah, I'm pretty sure you're not going to have a problem getting a seat, especially for Tom Hanks' Inferno, especially because it's pretty universally getting terrible reviews.
And really?
I'm going to pile on to that, I'm afraid. It's nowhere near Da Vinci Code or Angels and Demons. It really doesn't have very much to do with the Vatican or, the religious overtones that the other films have. This one is a story about Tom Hanks character searching for a virus that's about to be released that will kill half of the world's population. And clues to where this virus may be are hidden in paintings and frescoes in Florence, Italy, which makes it a beautiful movie. You know, plenty of beautiful scenes from Italy in this movie. That's about where it ends. It literally takes about an hour and a half for this movie to start to make any sense whatsoever. If I hadn't been reviewing it, I would have checked out, way early, because it is just really confusing and mishmashed. A real surprise, because it's directed by Ron Howard, who normally does a good job. I just don't think they did a very good job in adapting it. So it's Tom Hanks, who, as you know, is now dead to me since he's revealed himself to be a Cleveland Indians fan.
Right.
Not why I'm giving the movie a bad review. As far as you know, I'm giving it a Dean's List C on that one. The movie to see this weekend, though, is one called Moonlight. It's a little independent film. I promise you we're going to be talking about this film at Oscar time. It's a story about an African-American boy who is living in the violent and drug-laden streets of Miami, crackhead mom. This kid is trying to do good in school, trying to do the right things, and just the environment around him is not letting anything happen. He's bullied every day at school because he's suspected of being gay. And it is more than this movie being a story about this young man. This movie really is about anybody who didn't fit in when they were younger, felt like that they were different from everybody else. That's kind of the beauty of the story and how beautifully it's made, really well acted, very touching, very powerful. It's only at a few theaters, but worth seeking out. Again, it's called Moonlight, and I'm giving that a Dean's List A. That is a really amazing movie.
All right, and are any of your Channel 9 colleagues disappointing this morning? Are any of them creating a ruckus, a scene, or trouble?
No, Larry was Larry Potash, a little more diva-like than usual. It's not that unusual that we're not allowed to look him in the face or speak directly to him.
Yep.
You know, he's in a crowd atmosphere out here, so it's a little more tolerable that he's being forced to actually talk to people. Robin hasn't punched anybody so far yet, which, what is it, like 8:15, 8:20?
That's
like
good
that.
For
usually
her.
By,
yeah.
Usually by now, a couple of people have gotten decked. Paul Conrad is hugging a man right now. I'm not even really sure what that's all about.
Oh, I do see that. I'm looking at this on the TV. I believe he's hugging Marcus Leshock. Is this Marcus's last day?
Maybe. I don't know, but they both really seem to have enjoyed that incredibly prolonged hug.
Yeah, kind of uncomfortable.
For both of them right now. Yeah, I'm not sure what that's about. But, no, it's just really fun. There's the festive atmosphere, the party atmosphere out here. Anybody who's going to come out here just to hang out outside the park, you're going to have a blast today. And anyone lucky enough to get in, it's going to be just incredible. This is a truly, truly historic day in good old Wrigleyville.
And Dean will be at home tonight, but he will be renting couch seats out. How much?
That's right. Really, just anybody can come by for free. That's how lonely I am.
Wow. Big night.
Yeah.
No clowns tonight?
No, Bozo had another engagement. Bozo, that's my life, sitting around my house with Bozo.
Sitting around with Bozo or sitting waiting for Bozo to come home.
Yeah, the giant shoes just kicked off by the back door.
You know when you were a little kid and your parents would leave and you'd hear him come back and pull in the driveway, you'd be excited to see him? Dean always gets excited when he hears honk honk and the little clown car pulls in.
Yeah, I know. Maybe I'll go see Hamilton again tonight. I don't know.
All right, buddy. Happy weekend. Nice job.
Go, Cam.
That's Dean Richards, 8:23.
Did you hear how some of the, because obviously Hamilton is such a hot ticket.
Yeah.
Some of the Hamilton.
People are selling their Hamilton tickets.
They were wanting to trade Hamilton tickets for World Series tickets. And I thought, somehow, I don't think that's quite the same. Hamilton's going to be here for a lot longer.
I bet you can get Hamilton tickets tonight, right?
Oh, I bet you can.
Oh, I bet that's a good point.
Yeah.
The next three nights.
Okay, but who's going to go?
Well,
Somebody really doesn't care about the Cubs.
Sox fans.
Sox
fans.
You're not clinching tonight or tomorrow night. Just saying. Yeah. Chance to see Hamilton. 8:23 back after this on 720 WGN.
I get tired of being nitpicked, and I get tired of being criticized unjustly. Why don't they talk to me first before they do it? Okay? And get my viewpoints and my feelings, and then make a determination. You know? The same way that I get called ridiculous, they're ridiculous in the way they report things, too. And another thing I'm going to say, I won over 1,800 games in a manager, and I'm not a damn dummy. That I can tell you. Okay? There are only 13 others that have won more games than me. So I guess I think I know what the hell I'm doing. I don't care about talking to them. I'm talking to you through... to you for them. But I'm tired of it. You know, and Steve Stone, he's got enough problems doing what he does with the White Sox. What job has he had in baseball besides talking on the on television?
Ah, that's my man, Lou Piniella. He's supposed to be on a show today. He had to cancel. Baseball season's underway. He said, I'm on Monday.
He's the best.
He's the best. All the World Series coverage sponsored by Wintrust. Home of Cubs checking and slow and water connects us. Let's give you a chance to sing in the car. Come on, make a fool of yourself. Got a Weber Q 1200 Chicago Cubs portable liquid propane gas grill to give away again today. These are these cool little mini grills, great for a city deck, great to give to your kids, great for a special event, like maybe whipping up a couple of steaks tonight right before the game. Got the Cubs logo on it. Comes in Cubby blue, kind of a nice blue.
Blue Thunder.
Thunder.
Well, you know, we weren't prepared.
Mike wasn't
okay.
Open. No, yeah. A little late. Yeah.
The Weber Q Grill is yours from our friends at Apt Electronics, Steve Shapiro and everybody out there at Apt and the Apt Brothers. Happy to serve you. I don't, you know, they may be out. I mean,
they might be because I texted asking about this grill.
Yeah, they were very, very popular. I'm hoping they still have them. I know this. You go to Apt looking for one, they don't have it. They got 9 million other things you're going to need. I got to go to Apt.
Will you get me one too?
Get your grill?
Give me two because I'm careless. I might lose one.
All right, let me work on it for you. Here's the texture question for the rest of the show. What's the worst thing you ever threw out accidentally?
Oh, I know.
The worst thing you ever tossed away accidentally. Texters, 312-981-7200. That's the telephone number. You know who Max Scherzer is?
Sure.
Max Scherzer, the wife of Max Scherzer's wife, the Washington
Nationals.
Wow.
Well, they've been out of the playoffs for a while.
Can you tell it's Friday?
They got knocked out.
The Washington Nationals ace on most days, Max Scherzer's wife, threw out his wrinkly jersey from his no-hitter.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Max Scherzer's wife committed the ultimate sin in baseball memorabilia terms.
Why would you throw it out?
She was cleaning up the house, went a little crazy.
Oh.
It was his second no-hitter jersey. She didn't know that was. She just thought, why does he keep bringing this crap home?
Probably smelled pretty bad, too.
Hey, we're calling from the Hall of Fame. We're still waiting on that jersey.
Right. So, Max then, funny Twitter picture. Max then grabbed like three of her purses and put them in the trash. Go payback.
Oh.
We don't know who ended up with the jersey. As far as we know, it could be in some landfill in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's bad.
But what's the most unfortunate thing you ever threw out accidentally?
In terms of that text question, though, what happens if you threw it out accidentally but realized it and were able to get it back? Is that part of the question, too, or no?
Yeah,
let's say you accidentally threw away your wedding ring, and then you realize before garbage day, there it is.
So like you were mad and you tossed your wedding ring and then you dove in the dumpster and got it? Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that could work, sure. Text us 312-981-7200. And again, if you've never thrown anything out, make it up.
You ever throw out a check?
Oh, yeah.
And then have to call the person who wrote you.
Yeah,
the
never
check.
Reissued?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was right. that like circa 1940?
You mean the old days when hard checks
back
were issued?
When there were checks, yes.
I mean, you got to go back to 2009 or 10 for that.
I still write checks.
It's like the old days.
Well, sometimes you have to write. There are some people who only take checks.
Did you ever wash a check?
Oh, yeah.
You know, put. And not like money laundering, when you actually, you know, put your stuff in the laundry. No,
nope, I just did money laundering. Yeah. Karen both just won the Weber Q grill from Apt Electronics. Gets your Cubs very limited edition grill. Go to Apt soon and get it. Get it as soon as they open today. 8:33, back with a big story next. Baseball coverage again, sponsored by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking, and Sloan Water Connects Us. Steve Cochran Show continues next, 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Never not funny. What time are we doing our Bears preview today? Oh, we're not doing a Bears preview today? We'll do it on Monday. Bears play Monday night against whom?
The Minnesota Vikings, the Purple People Eaters, or they used to be.
Boy, we're getting some good texts before we get to... These are texts from people that accidentally threw stuff out. Max Scherzer's wife threw out one of his no-hitter jerseys.
Can't believe that.
Margaret says, I threw out my passport. 815, my wife threw out my wedding band. Maybe she's sending you a message, dude. 630, my daughter threw out this past Sunday Chicago Tribune after the Cubs clinched a trip to the World Series. My newspaper collecting lifelong Cubs fan husband is still devastated. We could probably get them another copy of the Sunday, couldn't we?
I'm sure we could.
Bennett, check that out. The 630 texter. See if we can help them out. My dad's false teeth.
Oh, that would not be good.
Another 630. My neighbors hid their Christmas presents at our house one year. My husband, Mac, threw them out with the garbage.
Okay, really?
312 texter. A full bottle of Cialis. We could probably find that. The garbage would be... Okay. Oh. Make up your own joke at home. Oh, yeah. 815, set of keys to the office. I've done that a couple times. I've thrown out keys.
I've thrown out keys, too.
Yeah, that's not a good idea. 815, my paycheck. 847, I threw out a box that I had hid a lot of cash in.
Oh, where do they live?
I don't know, but the box with the cash in it, you know. That's the problem when you hide something and you forget where you hid it, and then you go and you clean up. Yeah, that's not good. 224, threw my wallet out in the outside garbage can. Subscript, threw my wallet out in the outside garbage can, brought the garbage back indoors.
Oh.
And the wallet in the hand, tossed it, brought it back. Wait, what's... Hold on. 847, my fake ID 6 months before my 21st birthday. 847, I put our expensive down sleeping bags in a black trash bag to take upstairs to go on vacation. My wife was taking the garbage out, threw out the sleeping bags, $1,000.
Oh, God.
Threw out a $100 gift card. My wife threw out our anniversary ring. That was a $1,000 ring.
Yeah, the rings I don't quite get. Like, why would you... How can you accidentally throw a ring out?
Maybe it wasn't an accident. Uh-huh. 312, my ex-mother-in-law threw out her dentures with orange peels. I dove in the dumpster for them. She still owes me big time. My ex-mother-in-law. Oh. 847, dropped my wedding ring down a port-a-john. Oh. You know what? That's either a new marriage or a new wedding ring.
That's why I don't even go in those ever, ever, ever,
you know
ever.
How many people have dropped their phones down those things?
That's a new phone.
Don't even go in there. That's why those should be just banned.
Is it weird if you're sitting there and it rings beneath you? In the 708, I took my boat apart. My wife threw out all the screws and washers and nuts we needed to put it back together.
Oh, oops.
630, I threw out my grad school thesis. This is 1982. No computer, no backup.
Oh, see, that's happened to me. What? I was in college
deal.
One time.
That's a bad
yep,
deal.
That happened one time.
815, my youngest daughter, Molly, a huge Santo fan. She met him at a ball game. She was about 12. He signed her jersey. We can't find it now. I think maybe I sold it at a garage sale. She's not happy.
I've given away a lot of stuff like that. I had a bunch of vintage concert t-shirts back in the day. But they got all faded, and so I just gave them away. Now they're worth hundreds.
847, I was at O'Hare, and my flight was delayed, so I grabbed a meal. Threw out my passport with the trash. It was sitting on the tray. Didn't take the flight.
Yeah, not cool.
847, my ex-wife's soul.
That might have been intentional.
Threw it out with the trash. Keep them coming, texters. What'd you accidentally throw out that had some value to you or anybody? 312-981-7200.
Hey, hey.
8:53, Kevin Powell joins us. Wintrust Community Bank's hour continues, and Kevin, far and away, had the best Halloween costume yesterday on the Roe Cohn Show, and I include the lovely Anna DeVlantis in that. I mean, you know, Violetta Vegematic, she looked cute.
Wait, what was it?
She was like a traffic light.
Oh, a sexy traffic light?
Yeah. And Anna always looks fabulous.
Always.
She was doing the
Melania
Trump thing. Roe should not have left his house. Roe dressed like like a 52-year-old Ryan Lochte. Someone who loves Roe needed to stop him. Needed to stop him and go, no, you can't do that. You have to go home now. And then what was Judy Pilak?
Judy was Judge Judy or Judgy Judy.
Judgy Judy. Good call.
Judgmental Judy.
Yeah. And Kev was Arnold Palmer in a tribute to the king, which was great.
That was so cool, Kevin. I wasn't sure, though, that you were in costume.
Oh, he looked great.
And then I saw
that's why I salute him, because minimal effort, mm-hmm. something you might have worn anyway,
right,
and perfectly timely.
Yeah, totally.
It was great.
Right.
Really well done.
Well, I had to honor the king. I wasn't exactly sure if it would catch on, but I figured people would figure it out when I carried around my grandpa's old golf clubs and an Arnold Palmer drink, and I spray painted my hair gray. So
yeah, by the way, old golf club, persimmon wood. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how they made them, Kev, all the way back in the 80s.
The hickories.
And I found a 2-iron in the bag, actually, too.
Yeah, there's 9 more in my garage if you want one.
Okay.
All right, so let's talk a little baseball here. The Schwarber thing's been beaten to death, but Andre made a great point off the air. They won 103 games without him. They're going to be fine.
That's exactly right. Now, I was leaning towards them actually clearing him just because of the quality of bats he's put together this World Series, but it's not worth the risk. You're still going to get at-bats from him pinch hitting, so you get him in 3 at-bats over the next 3 games. Not worth the risk, though, and he didn't really even do a whole lot in the outfield yesterday. He didn't really even take aggressive pass towards fly ball. He was just sort of out there hanging out, and they decided to go this route, which I think is a smart move. You can't put him in that spot. It's one, obviously, the risk of injury, and 2, the defensive liability. But you'll get it bats from over the next few days. The weather should help the Cubs bats because it sounds like it's going to be warm with the wind blowing out. So that should help them. 103 wins without Kyle Schwarber, pretty good. To me, it's this offense is so good, and I think the more they see these Indians pitchers, the better they're going to get. I wouldn't be surprised if they wrap this thing up by Sunday, because these bats, this lineup is so deep. The more they see pitchers, whether it's the Indians' bullpen or the starters, the more dangerous they'll become, and I expect them to take the next 3 at Wrigley.
By the way, if they do wrap it up by Sunday night, you all have Monday off, and by you all, I mean people listening, none of you people.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, the rest of you have to work.
We might need it.
Yeah. So, all right, so mechanically, this lines up what way with the lineup? Any changes at all tonight other than Schwarber?
I think Wilson Contreras will likely get the start at catcher just because he can't take his bat out of the lineup. He's been so good this postseason. And then in right field, you'll probably...
I don't mean to interrupt you, but that's what I do. Somebody texted Wilson Contreras had his fingernails painted gold?
He did. They were painted yellow, I'm assuming, so that the pitcher can see the signals. It was yellow nail polish.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Catcher.
Like fluorescent.
Catcher's move. Yeah. Okay, I wondered what was going on.
Yes.
Thought maybe it was clubbing.
Right. Yeah, I've seen catchers use white tape around their fingers them white or things like that. So that's Wilson Contreras using the gold paint. Out in right field, either be all more in right field. I'd be surprised if Hayward goes out and right again. I mean, I know he got some time in game 2 in Cleveland, but I see him more in that sort of situation the rest of the way, where it's either he comes on to run and then you put him in defensively, but I don't think you play him a whole game considering how bad he's been at the plate. I mean, he only has 2 hits this postseason. He put some good wood on the ball in game 2, but then he went on to strike out in his second at bat. So right field, maybe Almora. I don't know if Chris Coughlin will get another start, but that'll likely be it. Ben Zobrist will probably be back out in left field as well. So not a whole lot different with the lineup.
See it the same way, Dave?
I do. I think it'll be interesting to see what Cleveland does. Apparently, they're going to put Carlos Santana out in left, and mm-hmm. it's going to be tricky. It's going to be a windy night. I think you have to like the matchup, Kyle Hendricks allowed the fewest home runs of any of the Cubs starting pitchers during the regular season. I know he gave up the homer to Adrian Gonzalez in Game 2 against the Dodgers, but that's the only one he's allowed this postseason.
He's a good single ball guy.
He's going to get a lot of ground balls, yeah. And I think on a night like this, that's going to be very important. Plus, I mean, he's not that he hasn't been in total command anyway, but I think you have to feel pretty good about him on a night like
this. What about this Cleveland pitcher, Kev?
Josh Tomlin, he's been great lately. I mean, he's had a pretty good postseason. Yeah. September, towards the end of the year, he had an ERA. The thing was 1.29, something like that. He struggled in August. He had some personal things. His dad will actually be in attendance. His dad is paralyzed from the chest down. He had some sort of a freak scenario where he had circulation issues. He's now paralyzed, but he'll be out at Wrigley tonight. So I'm sure that'll be inspiring for Tomlin. But he doesn't have overpowering stuff, nothing like Corey Kluber you saw in Game 1. It's just more of a command guy, throws high 80s, low 90s, throws a cutter. But he's been good lately. He's had a pretty good postseason. But the Carlos Santana thing, Dave, out in left field, he's only with four starts this season in left field.
He's had one game in his career, Kev, and it was in 2012 where he played four innings in left field. I mean, he's played other positions, but not left field.
Yeah, so it's a big risk, and Terry Francona pretty much admitted to it that, yeah, this is a huge risk, but they didn't want to take his bat out of the lineup, which to me is more of a move that was forced by the Cubs offense, because you know how potent this Cubs offense is, and you need runs, you need men on base. So they're sort of forced to put Santana in this situation because they need his bat so desperately against such a good pitcher.
They're actually putting in the West Coast guitarist Carlos Santana, the other Carlos
Santana.
Right.
Because he's a smooth operator.
Not available tonight. I got 15 seconds.
Kev, real quick, game time temperature 60 to 65 degrees. They're saying that the winds are going to be blowing 20 to 30 miles southwest to northeast, so that's basically from home plate to center field. Who do you think that will benefit more, Cubs or Cleveland?
Well, the Cubs, just because they make such good contact on the ball. Okay. I mean, it's just such a stacked lineup.
All right, and I think our final point is Rokan should have picked a different costume. Okay. Rose on this afternoon. All right, nice job, buddy. Have fun tonight.
All right, guys, we'll see you. Thanks.
9 o'clock news next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand. With an equal opportunity for all to sing, dance, and clap their hands. Just because a record has a groove, don't make it in the groove.
Some of the best horns on any pop hit in the last 25 years. Come on, Stevie.
They can feel it all up.
Text question came from Max Scherzer's wife throwing out one of his no-hitter jerseys. He's had two no-hitters. His wife was cleaning up. Here's something your team does, and Mary, you know this is true as well. You get to a certain point, no matter how sloppy the people you live with, men, are, you get to a certain point where you just snap. You can't take it anymore. Everything's got to go. You've warned him. You've told him. I don't know what you want in this box. But this box is driving me crazy. You got to move the box. I don't know why the garage is a mess. You know, you said you clean up the garage. I know you just said it, so I'd stop nagging you about it. Well, guess what? It's got to happen. It's driving me nuts. And eventually, you just snap and you lose it, and you throw out Max Scherzer's no-hitter jersey.
I believe it. You know what I do, though, which is bad? I tend to save everything. You know, so I'll get new clothes.
So you're a hoarder.
I hoard a little bit, yeah.
You got to get rid of a few so you can buy more.
See, I'll buy more, but I'll keep the other because it has some sort of weird sentimental value. Like, mm-hmm. I wore that the first day I started at WGN. Or, you know, there's got some significance to it.
I just thought that'd be a good game show. A good, like, reality TV. Who would, you know, I hate reality TV, but a good reality TV game show. You go into somebody's house where they can't. Maybe it's just called closets. You go into somebody's house where you can't throw out the stuff you need to throw out.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman or a man who hosts a show comes in and they give you a choice. This or this. This or this. You got to choose right now, and the other one goes. This or this. You narrow down your closet completely.
Well, they kind of do that on hoarders. I mean,
that would be
tough.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
No,
my son will still not forgive me for throwing away his Power Rangers videotape from years ago. Yes. And we went through videotapes this weekend. The kids were home, a couple of them, and I said, get rid of these tapes. Who wants what now? And they did.
There's about 200 people who have texted just to say my mom threw out my baseball cards.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people say this is urban legend, but moms did throw out baseball cards. They had a big meeting once, and they said, moms, we all get together, we throw out the baseball cards.
It is true. Yeah, my dad always was upset because his mom threw out his baseball cards. He claimed he had Hank Aaron and all the...
Yeah, they're not worth anything, really.
What?
Well, they would be. The good ones with Hank Aaron, but sure. Yeah. Most of them aren't worth anything.
Celerino Sanchez from the New York Yankees. You have that one?
I have it.
I don't, but you know what I do have? Have an O.J. Simpson football card.
Well, that might be worth something.
I think that might be worth
in a
something?
Vegas prison.
Yeah.
I wish I had Jose Cardinal.
815. Yeah, by the way, I was sitting in the morning show meeting the other day, and Jake, what did I ask? I asked something like, you know, favorite Cub of all time or something. I don't even know why I brought it up.
You had the meeting on Monday, and I was not here.
Oh, well, yeah. Maybe that was it.
You asked everybody.
Like a part of the team.
I'll soon we forgot.
You asked everyone who their favorite Cub was.
Yeah, but I don't remember why I brought it up. Mary, do you?
We were trying to come up with things to do Cub stuff on the show.
We were talking about Cubs ideas.
Yeah. And something more fun than just talking about the X's and O's of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, and W Flex.
And Mary wanted Jose Cardenal.
And Mary said, Mary said everybody's favorite Cub was Jose Cardenal.
Yeah, and I went, who?
In the 70s? In the early 70s?
And then you said you and all your friends just talked about it in Jose Cardenal.
We were. I don't know how it came up, but he was just so much fun and so cute.
I would think everybody's favorite Cub would be like Ryne Sandberg.
Yeah, Ryne Sandberg is my favorite.
Or Ernie Banks or Ron Santo.
Mary, didn't it come down to it was you and two friends? Yes. That was your total survey size?
Well, I didn't do a major survey.
Then she had to Google to even see if he was alive. So she didn't even know.
It's like a Trump poll. Which, I am winning because I said I'm winning.
Bring him back for the series. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, yeah.
Is he still alive?
He was, for you?
Yes, he is.
Jose Cardenal?
Yeah, he's still alive. He's 73. Yeah.
But when you whisper, you do it with respect. Is he still alive?
Is he still alive?
He is. He is. He's still
alive. He wasn't that cute either.
It was fun. He was a fun cub.
Yeah. Ryne Sandberg.
Everybody's
really
favorite fun cub.
Yes.
Jose Cardenal.
Come on. Texters, come on.
Wow, 815 Texter. Well, of course he did. There's a law. 815 Texter. Text a $100 bill and a copy of Playboy. To this day, I can't find it. Didn't toss it. Just chalked it up as a loss. Maybe your wife threw out the Playboy with a $100 bill in it? Maybe.
You know what I threw out one time by accident? My percolator. You know, the old coffee machine. It made the best cup of coffee to this day.
Whoa.
Accidentally?
How do you throw out an appliance accidentally?
I was moving, and I had a box of things that you recycle, like the old things. So I tossed it.
815, as we were leaving our honeymoon cottage, I threw away a bag with my wife's new shoes, her negligee, her wedding book, and a bunch of money.
Not cool.
Still married. 847, on the way to Cubs opening day, I threw a bunch of letters in the mailbox along with tickets I won on WGN for the Cubs. Didn't get them back. And the mailman pulls the mail out and there's tickets in there. 815, didn't throw it away, but I washed towels used by the Rolling Stones after their concert.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could, you know.
Boy.
Do you really want Mick Jagger sweat sitting around your house forever?
I do.
You know who loved Mick Jagger sweat? Jose Cardenal.
Yeah.
815, I wrapped some gold charms in a tissue. I cleaned out my purse and threw them out. A week later, I realized what I did. My kids and husband gave me the charms. That's tough. Let's see. 630, I accidentally threw away my commemorative Cubs grill from App. Steve, can you replace it?
Love, Andrea.
Funny. That's funny. More of these coming up. 918. I'll go through a few more of these and come back to them. And then after 9:30, Sandberg, you found, BuzzFeed by law does quizzes every day. If you go to BuzzFeed, there has to be a quiz. But I've occasionally accused you of being a tad judgmental.
Correct.
Yeah. So this quiz is what?
Mike Jacobson found it, and he said this is very Mary. So it's a quiz about being judgmental. I think it uses a swear word. Are you a certain kind of person?
Right.
Maybe not so nice.
So we can run this test on you, or have you already done it?
I skimmed through it, but you have to run the test so you can get some results.
Okay.
And I maintain I'm not judgmental. I'm just direct, and I tell it like it is.
Okay. Well, we'll find out.
You do tell it like it is.
And then you also are going to do a Huckapedia.
Huckapedia coming up with Dave here in just a few minutes. And a couple more of these texters on important, valuable things they threw out along with Max Scherzer's World Series, or his no-hitter jersey. like the Nationals will ever get to the World Series. 919, more in a moment on 720 WGN.
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
Uh-huh. The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk
Chicago
Opedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
Brings us to my favorite, your Chicago Blackhawks. Tonight they'll be in New Jersey to play the Devils. And there's been one thing, Dave, they've had some problems with in the early go here.
Yes, indeed.
What are you looking at in the Hawkopedia today?
This is going to hurt a little bit, Steve.
I'm
it's
ready.
The penalty kill.
Oh, you're right.
And so far it hasn't killed much of anything.
No, hasn't even wounded it.
Not really. So far the Blackhawks have allowed 14 goals while shorthanded. Far and away the most in the National Hockey League. By comparison, the second highest number of power play goals allowed, 9 by the Calgary Flames. The Hawks' PK percentage of 46% is the lowest in the NHL. Second lowest, Nashville's 68%. The 46% figure is the lowest on record through 7 games. Hawks have allowed 25 goals through 7 games, more than half of them when the other team has had the man advantage, and they have not had a game yet in which they haven't allowed at least one power play goal. Hawks' penalty kill has been at 80% or better each of the last 4 years, including 83% when they won the Stanley Cup 2 years ago.
What's it at now?
It's at 46%.
46, you said. Okay,
yes.
Sorry.
They were at 87, third best in the league in their Stanley Cup season of 2013. Part of the problem, the sheer volume of opponents' power plays. Blackhawks have been shorthanded 26 times, which is tied for the 12th most in the league. Compared to last year, though, through 7 games, the Hawks' penalty kill was at 83%. Plenty of time for the Hawks to figure it out with guys like Marcus Kruger leading the way, and it starts tonight at New Jersey. That's our Hawkopedia for today.
Well done by you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and come back and get you a few more texts for the bottom of the hour, and then you're on a plane.
I will be on a plane. Heading to Columbus, Ohio, to the Horseshoe.
Northwestern football tomorrow. What time?
2 o'clock for the pregame. 2:30 kick.
So you're covered. And then you can get back and watch yourself a little bit of the Cubs game 5.
Yeah, it's going to be tough because we're going to be. I'm debating because we'll be on the plane during the game.
Okay.
So I'm debating whether to DVR it and just put headphones on and not hear anything and get home.
I can't do that. I can't DVR sports.
I did it for the Bears game a couple Sundays ago when I had the same situation.
Why don't you just punch yourself in the face for 3 hours? It's the same as watching the Bears.
I wanted to watch. It's important to watch the Bears. I wanted to watch the Bears game.
That's true. Like you took steps to safeguard your personal computer, but what about your mobile phone? If you've ever done a financial transaction, I mean a single one on your phone, it's still in there for people to get. What? Nobody told me this, Steve. Oh, I'm telling you now. That's why I've got a LifeLock to protect me from me. Anything I may have done on my phone, LifeLock has the digital protection that I need to protect me during all the digital transactions I do every day. Everybody can't be protected 24/7, but you increase your chances of success by who knows how many fold when you are a LifeLock member, starting at just $9.99 a month, by the way. You can get Ultimate Plus membership now and save 10% on it when you mention LifeLock. Do it in the promo code box when you do it online, or tell them that when you call by phone. 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com, promo code LifeLock. It's LifeLock, helping keep you safe and make sure that none of the bad guys get your money. Doesn't get any simpler than that. 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Bye, Dave. Have a good trip. Take care, Dave. Good luck. Go Cats. World's greatest granddaughter, my first grandchild, the great Abigail Grace, will be in this morning.
Excellent. Yeah. I mean, not that we weren't happy to see Ross the other day.
She's got a pretty high appearance fee, $250 an hour.
Yeah, it's weird that you make us sign like a little time where we're available to see her.
And what I'm told is don't look her directly in the eye.
Yeah.
All right, listen, all of our Baseball World Series coverage sponsored by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking and Sloan Water connects us. I've asked Sandberg to join us here in an effort to make Sandberg a better person. Sandberg, Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet.
there's a BuzzFeed survey, you know, in BuzzFeed every single day. And Bennett, you know this because you're a millennial, and by law, you guys have to look at BuzzFeed every couple hours.
That is correct.
So this survey is, are you actually sort of an S-word person? Okay. Each of the questions we're going to give you, there's nine questions. And each of the questions have individual survey results based on the hundreds of thousands of people that have already answered them.
I, of course, would like to just give a little feedback on BuzzFeed itself. I believe it's contributing to the dumbing down of society because it gives you only few words, lots of pictures.
A lot of pictures, yeah.
Yeah, no actual
videos.
No depth.
Oh, I'd agree with that.
So yeah, as we go on.
So are we taking the survey?
I'm taking the survey.
Oh, you're taking
the
survey. Okay.
Yes, and then the problem is I just took this survey for myself on the link, and now it won't let me reset it. Can you resend me the link again? Yeah, I don't know if it'll be like computer specific. But the point of this is people have said, texters have said, you're very judgmental.
Yes.
And we don't feel you're judgmental. We feel you're direct. Is that what you wanted me to say?
Yes. Yes, okay. That is
did you hear the laugh that came from behind the glass, by the way? You just said that.
I don't know who that was from.
Now, Bennett, you work closely with Mary every day. What's more difficult to take, a mugging by three guys on the L or Mary judging you?
Ooh, depending on the day. That's pretty tough.
You mean Mary being direct with him.
Right. I'm going to have to defer, considering I already got mugged. And Mary's
it's already
right,
been a tough day.
And Mary's right next to me. And that could be mugging number two occurring in studio. Yeah. So I plead the fifth.
All right, this is not going to let me. All right, you're going to have to do this in there, Jake. You've got it on your computer? Once I've taken it on my computer, it won't let me retake the quiz. All right, so there's only nine questions here. So I will ask the question. Jake will note your answer.
All right.
Question number one, you are eating in a food court and you're finished. Would you take your rubbish to the bins or would you leave your rubbish on the table? They have cleaners for a reason.
Oh, my goodness.
Truthful answer.
Well, I don't really eat at the food court, but if I were to eat at the food court, I would take my...
There's a judgmental statement before even answering
right.
the
right.
question.
Right, I wouldn't eat at the food court, but if I did for the sake of the survey...
How long are you at the mall that you needed to eat?
Hey, what if they had question. Frozen pizza?
Oh, I do love frozen pizza.
Come on,
I love
Mary.
That Sparrow pizza.
Little kids at a mall? You so could you, be there for hours.
So yeah. You don't eat the free egg roll samples that they give out at Panda Express?
No, thank you.
Okay.
But I would take it to the bin. I would dump the trash off and then put the tray in the correct spot.
Okay. Now, I will tell you, as we go through these, what I did as well. Okay. I would take it to the bin as well.
Okay.
54% of us do the right thing. 46% no. So far, you're a really good person.
There we go.
You're in question
as
one.
As BuzzFeed is proving.
Yeah. Question number two, you get a call from a telemarketer. Do you ignore the call or pick it up and tell them you're not interested?
I pick it up and tell them I'm not interested every time. LifeSource Blood keeps calling me like crazy.
I don't answer the calls.
I wouldn't either.
No, I don't answer the calls. 86% of people ignore the calls. We're the bad people. You're the good person for
Look
taking
at
the call.
This. Hmm.
So far, two
By
answers.
By the way, she just gave me judgmental eyes for everybody that can't see that on the radio. Yeah.
But what does she say to him when she answers the phone?
Don't
are
ever call here again.
Nice?
Go to the mall and eat something.
Well, I'm direct, Mary.
Oh,
say,
get
know,
lost.
Please don't call me again.
Part of the reason, we talked about this the other day. Part of the reason that you can be direct and get away with it is because you have this cute little voice. So we started talking about this off the air that we might have people who have bad news to tell have Mary make the call.
Oh, yeah.
My husband has said way back before when we were just working together and we weren't even thinking about us.
He was.
As us. No, he was not. he said that one of my best qualities is no one delivers bad news the way
yeah.
I do. Like you
we
almost
call
think
it,
you want to get the news.
We could call it Sandberg it. Delivers the bad news. And listeners call up with a problem and you call and tell them.
As I told you last week, when we were going to the Cub game on Saturday, we got tickets last minute. And so Patrick was going back. We had the kids and he was going back to his mom's house. Because we only had two tickets and we were going. And I sold that as if he was actually getting the better end of the deal. Instead of going to the game, you're going back to mommy to watch the game on TV.
Well, I don't think manipulating your 9-year-old helps there.
He was like, yes.
All right,
yes.
You know what? I'm going to penalize you a question. You were ahead 2-1. Now you're a bad person. Yeah. It's 2-2. Third question. You make plans with a friend and you want to cancel on the day of the event. Do you let them know? Well, it would be the day. Do you let them know in advance so you can reschedule or do you call them on the day and tell them you're sick?
I probably wouldn't have even agreed to plans, but if I did, I would tell them ahead of time. And I usually, people are shocked. I'll say, you know what? I'm just not really that interested in going any longer.
See, I would give myself an ulcer as to how to tell them.
Audrey would call me and ask me to make the call.
I go, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'd give myself an ulcer over that.
Jake, what's question four?
Would you ever date a friend's ex? Never or yeah, why not?
Never.
I'm never as well.
No, I'm never.
Yeah, why not? 64%. There's a lot of bad people that watch BuzzFeed or that read BuzzFeed.
Because they're millennials.
What's question five?
Then it's like you're kissing them. Ugh.
I don't even think they shower.
It's like, not like you're kissing. No. I don't know what the female
rule
is.
Don't you know what they tell you in sex ed? Every person your partner's been with, you've been with as well.
That's so not we're talking about kissing. to show you the anatomically correct chart again. Question five.
Oh, I'm doing this?
Yeah, there's a couple that don't include the question.
Oh, that's right. Okay. No one is around, and the shopping cart dock is really far away.
Right.
Do you find it and put it away or just ditch the cart?
I put the cart away.
Oh, I always put the cart away. And I'll bring other people's carts because I'm concerned about them banging into people's car. That is the most rude thing someone can do is not put the cart back. How much of in a hurry are you or lazy are you?
How about this where you take the cart and you lift it up. You like pop the wheelie so you can put it on the concrete thing.
In the dirt?
In the dirt. Because now no one from the grocery store has to come out and pull it off the concrete dirt thing and collect it.
I would argue that's putting it away in a sense.
Especially if it's windy. It's in a safe place.
No, all right, you guys are terrible
people. I'm very guilty of that.
Next question.
Someone asked you for some spare change. What do? Do you tell them you don't have any, or you give them what
you
have?
Oh, I'm an easy mark. I'm telling you, between the Tribune Tower, and it doesn't matter if you have it, between the Tribune Tower and the Hancock, you can make thousands of dollars off me. Yeah. I'd advise you to be out there when I'm on the street.
I don't carry change. I don't.
And what's your answer, Sheva?
I'll throw change away.
I give them change, or I give bills. You know, I give money.
Everybody comes to me for spare change, whether it's, and then Greenpeace, all these people, they come right because I got a baby face. So like, oh, he must be nice. He must want to talk to me, but I don't.
And then Jake borrows the money from me and gives it to him.
You know how to get rid of it? When people stop and say, can I ask you a question? You say you already did, and then just keep walking.
You know, really, this test should be presented to Andrea, apparently.
Yeah, really. Right. I was this way.
72% of America said, tell them you don't have any change. Question seven.
You see someone struggling to carry something up the stairs. Do you watch and or help?
Of course you help.
I always help. I help. Yeah. I hold doors for people.
What do you do?
Help.
What do you really do?
Look away so we don't make eye contact.
Wow.
Because I'm usually in a hurry. And
this is really revelatory.
I would go,
found
Steve,
out who's
can you
kind
help
of
me?
A blanket here.
It's like, remember what Orion said about carry-on luggage? He won't help. Remember?
Well, Orion's 82. Yeah.
Well, and carry-on luggage is a whole separate
he
issue I've got.
Yeah.
But this is, if you're carrying a package or something.
Question eight, which feels like a repeat of question one, but go ahead anyway.
What do you do when your water bottle is empty, but there are no bins around? Do you throw it somewhere no one can see it, or do you hold on to it?
Yeah, carry it to another bin. How hard is it to carry
it
to a bin?
Hang on to it.
Yeah.
And since we're running really late, the final question is, your service was below average and the bill comes. Do you still leave a tip? Good tip.
Yeah, I always leave a good tip.
Yeah, so do I.
No way.
But with a codicil.
Mary, no way.
But,
no way.
But no, but you can't not.
Oh, you can't not.
You can't not tip
and
not explain.
But I won't leave a big
one. No. Listen to me. Please listen to me. I don't care how much money you make, how much you're going to leave for a tip. Yeah. The message is delivered not to the server.
Right.
The message is delivered to the manager.
Right.
So before you leave, you go to the manager or the owner of the place and say, you can do anything you want with this information, but I just got terrible service. I'm not looking for you to comp the bill. Well, in my case, I am. I'm not looking for you to comp the bill. I'm looking for you to just know that if I were you, I'd want to know this information. It's not confrontational. It's easy. I learned it from Roe.
Yeah.
Hey, Andrea, what's your answer to that one?
I would leave. I wouldn't leave 20%. I'd maybe leave 15 to 18%.
Well, see, that's what I do.
But that message, you know what that message is?
But then they
is?
Get the message.
That you're just like a bad tipper. Yeah.
The message is you're a bad tipper. The message is not they're bad at their job.
But I would go say something to the manager after. But on the flip side, if someone's really good and they go above and beyond, I always will say, that was a great server. That was a great bartender. I'll always give like a compliment.
Here's the deal. The final scoring of the quiz is that Andrea is actually a bad person, but Mary is still judgmental.
I am still judgmental.
And Vandeveld, you're kind of judgmental as well.
Mary's like Mother Teresa compared to...
I mean, this is what I've been trying to tell people, so this is why everyone should fall in line.
All right, now...
And she's
tied you. Yes.